Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. Praise the Lord. Thank you for always being there. And thank you for bringing us to another day. It is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Help us to understand and to learn many aspects of what the Lord wants us to hear and to know from the stories that we will share today. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have some more stuff to do on in this series of Saul versus David, their lives. Today, again, focusing some more on David. The subtitle for today will be, you know, all of David's triumphs and tragedies. You know, he had his share of triumphs, he had his share of tragedies, and there were, you know, some great moments in his life. We've looked at some of the horrible moments in his life. We looked at that already. Some of the things that he did, we've talked about the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah. We talked about the matter of he numbering Israel and so forth. But I want to call out some other things, you know, that we may learn from the life and the stories of David. You know, some of his triumphs, great triumphs, and some of the great things he did. Most people think of Goliath, the lion, the bear. There's a whole lot more that David did. And then the tragedies that he faced, you know, had his own share of that. And so, you know, I just want to call that out just to let us know that, look, you know, there may be great things happening in our lives, but then also there's some, you know, not so savory things, you know, tragedies and different things that David had to deal with. Give us encouragement. Praise the Lord. Now, as you know, David was anointed king of Israel when he was a boy. We've gone through that and so forth. You know, by the time God finally restored, gave him the throne, for many years he was running from Saul. And he couldn't even ascend to the throne, even though God had appointed him to that. But eventually, he did. And David became a king of Judah at the time, and also the king of the United 12 tribes of Israel. In the book of 2nd, and we're going to read some scriptures. Taking that, you know, we're taking this just like a Bible study. Let's read a few verses here and there. In 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4, we read about, you know, some of the, how David, you know, became ruler not only of Judah, but all the, it was noted that he was the a king over, you know, all of the tribes of Israel. Now, this happened before they split, okay? The split actually came after the time of Solomon. So, you know, both Saul and David ruled over, you know, all of Israel at the time, you know. So, now, the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. So, we see that it was house of Judah at that time. But there wasn't a split yet. In the time of David, he was ruling over not only Judah, but also Israel. And then Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, you know, he did some things and tried to make insurrection against David. You know, it was a long term. At one time, it was a, you know, long time, someone I was loyal to Saul, and, but he did not want to follow David. So he went and appointed a king over some portions of Israel. Well, the house of Judah, though, they followed David. So it looked as if there was a split. There wasn't an official split at the time, but it was rebellion, you know, that was creating what looked like a split. Now, later on, David will go on to actually conquer back Jerusalem in the 2 Samuel chapter 5. We see the story of, you know, David going, you know, conquer everything. The tribes of Israel came to David to Hebron, and they said to him, "We are your bone, are your flesh. In time past when Saul was king over us, well, you were the one that led us and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel. I shall be a captain over them." So all the elders of Israel came to make him king in Hebron, you know, and if David made a league with them in Hebron, they anointed him king over Israel. So not only Judah, but also now Israel. And he was 30 years old at the time. These stories are in 2 Samuel 5. He was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. Now, his reign was split. Seven years he reigned in Hebron over Judah. And 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel and Judah. That number 33 is significant, you know, in a way, because we know that Jesus was here for about the same number of years in his earthly ministry. And so that's how David became king over everyone. And, you know, there were some other things that he went through. He was always having challenges with the Philistines. These Philistines were like, you couldn't really beat them one time forever. You beat them once, they regroup, they come back, and you have to beat them again. You have to keep fighting them. This is the way it was in the life of David. There is a story, you know, there's a story even in this 2 Samuel 5, you know, the Philistines, when they heard, he says, when they heard that the people had anointed David king over Israel, you know, then they said, well, we're going to go get him. So the Philistines came, spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into my hand?" Now, these are some popular lessons in the life of David, how he would inquire, you know, before he went to battle. Now, these were people that came up against him. There was no question about whether he had to go and defend, you know, his own space. But yet, he would ask the Lord first. You know, so these are some good lessons in the life of David. Despite the obvious and the inevitable, you have to go fight the war, but will you stop to ask the Lord? There's something that you have to do in your life. It's inevitable that you have to do it, but do you stop to ask the Lord whether you should do it? And this is a great lesson in the life of David. When the Philistines came up against him, he had no choice but to fight them. But still, he took time out to ask the Lord first. So that's a great lesson for us. Shall I go up? Will you deliver them to my hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David came to Baal Perazim and smote them there. And the Lord broke forth upon, his enemies. And he said, the Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies. And so on and so forth. So David took all the images that the Philistines had left and he burned them. Now, these Philistines, like I said, they are like something we call whack-a-mole here in the U.S. You hit the thing and then it jumps up at another hole. You hit it there and it jumps up over there. You hit it here and it jumps up over here. That's how these Philistines were. So they came up again and came up to him the second time. They would not stay down. They come up again. And you have to keep fighting. It's a lesson in our life too that, look, you may get a victory over the devil in one situation. Don't relax because the devil's going to come back. And so these Philistines came back. And David inquired of the Lord again. Now here's another great lesson. That David, he didn't say in his mind, well, the Lord already told me I can go up against them and he would deliver them into my hands. He didn't say that. He asked the Lord again. And that's a great lesson for us. Don't say, well, the Lord said so yesterday. What about today? There may be a different strategy for this conflict, different than the one before. And that was exactly what we found out. When he inquired of the Lord again, he said, shall I go up? It's like he asked the last time. This time around, the Lord said, no. and that gives us a great insight. The Lord said no. Not that the Lord would not give him the victory, but he was going to give him a different strategy. And he said, no, this time around, don't do that. But fetch a compass behind them and come up against them, around the mulberry trees. And the Lord said, I'm going to show you a sign. You wait. And when the Spirit of Lord blows through the tops of those mulberry trees, then you will bestir yourself. And this is a great story. And then the Lord will go out before you and you will smite the host of the Philistines. What do we see in this story? But the first thing we see is that David knew to always ask the Lord when he would go to battle. Even though the battle was inevitable, he had to do it, but he would ask the Lord. And this time around, this second time in particular, the Lord also showed us something here. There are times the Lord may tell us, do it, but wait for my signal. And that's what we see here. Don't go rushing in like you did last time. This time around, do it this way. And I will give you a signal. And the signal is when you see the top of the mulberry tree is blowing like that, God was going to send a special wind. It's kind of like the Spirit of the Lord or the angel of the Lord blew through that thing. And when David saw it, the Lord said, well, that will be your cue. When you see that, then you go in and the Lord will go before you. Bestir yourself. Praise the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, let me also encourage us, when we are going through whatever we're going through or facing, let us ask the Lord from time to time, step by step. And when the Lord gives you a word, there was a word that was given to David in this case. And so God said, well, wait for something I will show you. And when you see it, be stir yourself. Be strong in the Lord. And David went, he bestirred himself. He did so, and the Lord commanded him, and smote Philistines from Geba until Gaza. You know, smote them all. Praise the Lord. So these were some powerful lessons and stories in the life of David. Let's talk about, you know, the story of David and the ark. You know, David and the ark. There were so several things, you know, that happened, you know, about that. There was one time, before we get to that, there was one time when David wanted to go up, capture Jerusalem. And some people were saying that, well, David couldn't do it. And David said things like, well, okay. He had some people around him that was, you know, they were really strong men. If the time permits me, I will talk to you about David's mighty men today, maybe, if I have time. You know, but David even offered and said, look, if you guys go here and get this and get that, you know, well, there will be a reward. Because, you know, and David was a man of war. He was a man that commanded and his people followed him. There was even a time before he was king that all of the, I mean, he was another king, but before he got to the throne, all of the disgruntled people and all the people that had issues and so forth, they, you know, clave onto, you know, onto David. That was the story in, you know, when he went, joined himself at one time to the Philistines, because they were kept running from Saul. And you saw the story in 1 Samuel 30. You know, while David was fighting and the people that were with him, fighting a war that wasn't really their concern, was fighting alongside, you know, Philistines would be their enemies. The Philistines were not fighting Israel necessarily, fighting other fights. And while they were doing that, the Amalekites had come and taken over the Ziklag where they were. That story is in 1 Samuel 30. And they burned them plates down, captured their wives, their children, and everything. And we're told that the heart of the people that were with David were grieved. And they even thought of stoning and said, look, it's because of you that we went to fight this fight. That wasn't even our concern. Now look at what happened to us. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. My soul, why art thou cast down within me? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet, you know, see the light of his countenance and so on. Encourage himself. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. He wrote those things to encourage himself. But in that story also of Ziklag, David inquired of the Lord. I mean, what are you inquiring of the Lord for when they've captured your wife and your children? You got to go after them, get them back. There's no question about that. But that was always his pattern. He would always inquire of the Lord. And we see that as a great trait in David's life. Always inquiring of the Lord, should I do this or should I forbear? And the Lord will say, do it. In the case of Ziklag, God said, do it, and thou shalt surely recover all. And he went, and he did recover all. Blessed be the name of the Lamb. Coming back to the story of the ark, I realized that I missed this story. I'm trying to go through chronologically. I missed this story. So David was always someone that inquired of the Lord. And the Lord called him a man after his own heart. That's in 1 Samuel 13 and 14. was called a man after God's own heart. He always committed himself to the will of God, always asking, what the Lord wanted. By the way, the meaning of his name is beloved. That's what David means. And God used him, mightily, performed many things to save Israel. So he was blameless, the Bible says, and he did all the right things except in these matters that we have already discussed. There was a time that the Philistines, succeeded in capturing the ark, and David had to fight. And when the ark was being restored, we see something marvelous that amazing, David did. The story, it's a beautiful story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I want to talk through some of it. In many of his conquests with, fights with the Philistines, some of them he won, some of them his Philistines got the victory over them. And in this particular place, the Philistines had gotten some victory, captured the ark and all of that. And when they were able to recover the ark, somebody was trying to help the ark and put forth his hand. The Lord smote him, he died. David was afraid. Well, I don't want the ark to come into my house if this is what the Lord's going to do. So he said, carry the ark someplace else. So they carried the ark someplace else. 2 Samuel chapter 6 tells us the story of Uzzah, the man that put forth his hand to help the ark when the oxen shook and the ark, that they were carrying was about to fall. And the Lord struck that man and said, you should not have put forth your hand. And David was displeased, we're told, in 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 8. But the God Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him, unto the city of David. But he carried it aside unto the house of this Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of that man 3 months. And the Lord blessed that man tremendously and all his household because the ark of the Lord was there. Now, I don't know what David was thinking, because he already knew the mercies of the Lord. And this was one time that he failed to see past that. But he said, I don't know. This ark come to me, why not? But anyway, they sent the ark someplace else. And then when David saw that the Lord had blessed the ark of Obed-Edom, the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertained unto him because of the ark of the Lord. So David said, I don't think the Lord is, going to strike us down. So bring the ark. And so they brought the ark into the city of David, Jerusalem, also called Zion. They brought the ark to gladness. And it was so, this part of the story I want to read, 2 Samuel chapter 6. It was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, David sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. Well, I don't know of anybody else that we are told did that in the scriptures. People might dance before the Lord, but this man danced before the Lord with all his might, maybe doing cartwheels, jumping up and down, doing whatever. He was just so elated that the ark of God was coming home. And he praised the Lord. He danced. There's a song that says, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, I'll dance like David danced. Well, this man danced before the Lord with all his strength. And it came to pass that as this was going on, that David was dancing in the street, you know, as king, but he didn't care about that. Wasn't trying to be all civilized and all polished and all dignified and everything. No. He cast off his, you know, kingly robes and began to praise the Lord, because the ark was coming home, shouting and sound of trumpet and everything. And Michal, who was Saul's daughter that David had won, you know, to his wife, was the trophy that he got at the time, said David's, you know, defeated Goliath. And Saul said, well, I'll give the to wife, the man that defeats this man. And Saul also tried to kill David at the time, telling him, go and get me 100 foreskins of the Philistines for bride price. David did. He got, actually got 200. We covered that 2 or 3 days ago. But David got that woman to wife. And this was that woman, who was now his wife. And she looked through the window, saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord. Now, leaping might be cartwheels or whatever. I don't know what he was doing. He was jumping up and screaming and shouting, raising his hand and dancing. And this woman looked at him and despised him in her heart. You know, so, you know, they brought the ark in, set it in his place. David was happy, offered sacrifice and so forth. And David, when he went back to his house, this woman was waiting for him. That was his wife. And she said unto him, you know, mocking him, you know, and despising him, how glorious was the king of Israel today, you know, covering himself in the eyes of the handmaids and, you know, and so forth. As one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. Now, David at that time had thrown away his garments. That's what she was talking about. Yeah, he had a crown as a king. He had the kingly robe and all of that. David threw all those things away. And he was just praising the Lord, dancing. And this woman was looking at him, you know, this is unbelievable. How can the king be doing like this? And this woman was ashamed of David. Not because of David himself, but because, hey, I'm married to this man as acting like a crazy man. You know, she despised him in her heart. She challenged him when he came in. How could you debase yourself like that in the streets? I mean, look at all the women that were looking at you. And David said unto her, it was before the Lord. I love this answer. It was before the Lord who chose me over your father and over your father's house and appointed me to be ruler over his people, and I will praise him. You know, I will praise him. I'll play before the Lord. I'll dance if I want to. I'll do cartwheels if I want to. And if you think what you saw was anything, you haven't seen anything yet. I will do even more because the Lord is good. The Lord gave me the kingdom. And all those people that you thought, all those maid servants that you thought, you know, David is sticking back to her. You thought I made a shame of myself for them. No, they will actually have me in honor. And God chose me over your father's house, therefore will I praise him. Now, this thing displeased the Lord that this Michal said, you know, and the Lord smote her. And she went childless all her life, you know, until her death. Now, this is a stern warning for anyone not to leave anybody that is praising the Lord alone. If you don't like how they are dancing, you don't like what they are doing, well, just leave them alone. Don't be saying that, you know, they are crazy and they are doing this and despising them in your heart. Because the thing might displease the Lord. Amen. The Lord must get our praise. You know, we were created to praise the Lord at His pleasure. And even stones must praise the Lord if nobody else will. You know, God is able to raise up stones, you know, to praise the Lord. John the Baptist and everything, telling the people. So don't, you know, be able, I mean, don't at any time say that somebody is praising the Lord is crazy. Because just because you don't like the way they are dancing, that's none of your concern. They are praising the Lord. It is between them and the Lord. You saw what happened to this woman that, you know, despised David in her heart. But David, he praised the Lord. He was going to let anything stop him, crown, robe, or anything else. Get rid of all those things if they're a hindrance. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we are too polished in our positions. We're too dignified. We can't praise the Lord like that because we don't want, you know, what are people going to say? You see, I got to carry myself with dignity. You know, there are some people, I've even heard this said, you know, for some denominations, they think it's crazy the way some, you know, Pentecostals scream and roll. And, you know, in the early days here in America, you know, 60s and things like that, or 70s, they used to call the Pentecostals holy rollers. Isn't they call them holy rollers? Well, some of them used to jump, do some really crazy stuff, you know, in their churches and everything, roll on the ground, do stuff. And in fact, some of those black American churches, my goodness. One time, my wife and I, you know, somebody invited us to a black American church right here in Phoenix. And we went. And, I'd never seen any such thing, you know, in real life. I'd seen it on TV, but I thought it was all acted. But no, people were running around, jumping over chairs, you know, carry chairs, run around. It was crazy stuff. You know, I said, my goodness. And they just carried on for a long time. You know, I mean, I've been in services where we praise the Lord. You know, when I lived in Nigeria, people don't know how to praise the Lord here in the United States. Maybe the black churches do, but the other churches, they're too polished. You know, we would praise the Lord for hours. I mean, you could sing one song for almost an hour and people would sweat, run around, do all kinds of stuff. You know, that's the way that David was praising the Lord. And it pleased the Lord, but it displeased God that anybody would despise him for doing that. So let's be careful. Leave people that are praising the Lord alone. If you don't approve of the way they praise the Lord, well, you know, that's none of your concern. You know, so let them praise the Lord the way they want to, because it was before the Lord, David said, and he praised the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So now many other things, you know, that David did, you know. And then I want to talk a little bit about, you know, some covenants that God gave unto him. It's a powerful, powerful covenant that the Lord gave unto him. And this David, he wasn't a perfect man, as we saw. He did some things, you know, and, but yet the Lord spoke to him that he would establish his throne forever. You know, we've seen the plagues that came against David because of the evil he did. You know, but David was a man that was after God's heart. David actually wanted to build a temple to the Lord. In 1 Chronicles, sorry, chapter 16, you know, David wanted to build something and he made plans for it. He knew he couldn't do it, but he made plans for it. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that David laid down or laid aside for the building of the, for building of the temple, and he gave the charge of how the services should be organized, schedules, and Levites and priests and sons of Asaph, the singers, and David gave a lot of commandments ahead. He said, look, you do this in the service of the Lord. You appoint the singers, you do this and that, do great things. And he charged his son too. 1 Chronicles 16, there's also chapters 23 to 25. And then there's also some place in chapter 28. Let me see if I can read some of it. Now, it was in his heart, like I said, to build a temple for the Lord. Because after the Lord had given him rest, he looked at it and said, the Lord had given me rest on every side. So let me see, what I can do for the Lord. And then the Lord said, no, you're not the one that's going to do it, but your son will do it. So when David knew he couldn't do it, he made provision, made all kinds of provision for the temple that would be built. Some people talk about Solomon's temple being glorious. Well, yeah, but David was the one that made most of that provision. Solomon got some things, together too. But David made provision for the temple. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 29, I keep saying Corinthians, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in particular, we read how David made provision. If you want to read the story of how he wanted to build a temple, to the Lord, you can read 1 Chronicles chapter 22. It was in his heart to do that. He said, look, I want to do this thing. And made plans. Called Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. Listen to this. 1 Chronicles 22. Verse 6, then he called Solomon and charged him to build. Well, in fact, let me just read it from the beginning. David said, this is the house of the Lord. This is the altar, the burnt offering, and so forth. Commanded all the peoples who are in the land, set aside different things for the house of the Lord. David prepared iron in abundance for the nails and for the doors of the gates and the joints, brass in abundance without weight. That means they couldn't even weigh the thing. Also cedar trees in abundance. And the Zidonians and they that are at Tyre brought much cedar to David. David said, my son Solomon is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord is must be exceeding great and magnificent of fame and glory. Now, this was David's thinking. People thought that, Solomon did all of that great stuff. Yeah, he did. But David was the one that planned it all. And he planned it, he said, throughout all countries, there will be nothing like it. Therefore, I will now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. So, in case you didn't know that David did all of this, Solomon got the credit, but David did most of the work, And then he called his son to him, charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. Said, Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house to the name of the Lord, my God. But the word of the Lord came unto me and said, thou hast shed a lot of blood and you made many wars. Now you're not going to build my house, and so forth. But a son shall be born unto thee and he shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. His name shall be Solomon. God foretold of Solomon's name even before he was born. And I will give him peace and quietness unto Israel in all his days. He will be the one to build a house for my name. And he shall be my son. And I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, Solomon, my son, the Lord be with thee and prosper thee and build the house of the Lord thy God. even as he has said of thee. So David was the one that gave Solomon charge. It wasn't in Solomon's heart to do anything like this. It was in David's heart. And only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. The Lord give thee charge concerning Israel. Now, David already prayed for that wisdom that Solomon eventually prayed about. Yes, David praying about it here. The Lord will give you wisdom and give you understanding. And the Lord give you charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper. See, if you keep the law of the Lord, David warned him, then you will prosper. If thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments of the Lord, in which he charged Moses concerning Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Dread not and be not dismayed. Now, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000. That's 1,000,000 talents of silver and brass and iron without weight. And for it is in abundance in timber and stone I have made preparation. You may add unto it, he said. But I've already made, a good start for you. Moreover, there are workmen that are, set aside for you in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber and all manner of cunning men for every, manner of gold, a work. Everybody that has skills to craft, to use the anvil, to do this and that, I'll set them aside. David even paid them in advance to do this work. Of the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, there is no number. I mean, these are the great things. I want to call this out because people don't really know that. Some people don't know that David did all this stuff. It was David. I did it. Now arise therefore and be strong and be doing. Do this thing and the Lord be with you. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And had not he given you rest on every side? He had given the inhabitants of the land into your hand. And the Lord is established. I mean, said the land is subdued and before these people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God and arise therefore and build the sanctuary of the Lord. To bring the ark back and the holy vessels of God into the house to be built in the name of the Lord. To the name of the Lord. So David was the one that made all this preparation in abundance, all the things that Solomon used. Solomon added some to it, just like David told him. So you can add to it, but I've already got all these things, And so in his last days, David appointed his son Solomon to be king over Israel. Glory to God. But he passed on a great legacy. He gave this man charge and he gave him provision. He laid aside much wealth for the man, the young man, to build the house of God. So we ought to give David credit for that. And Solomon always gets the credit for all the wonderful house he built. But let's give David credit here today for all the things that he did to get it all together and to prepare. It was in his heart to do it. And since he couldn't do it, he said, well, I'm going to make preparation for it. Praise the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we can expand that today. If you can't do it, why don't you support those who are doing it? You can't go to the missions field yourself. Well, why not support those who are going? You can't do the work of the ministry yourself. Why don't you support those who are doing it? That's what David's heart. I'm not going to be able to do it myself because the Lord's not letting me do it, but I am going to support this work, he did too. And when it was time, he appointed his son, Now, there were some troubles within his house. Even though the Lord had told David that Solomon was going to be king and that God would establish Solomon's throne, there was envy, strife, sibling rivalry, and all of that, within his house. And there were times that they were fighting and people plotting, and so forth. And David was going to be I mean, Solomon was supposed to be king in David's stead, but you know, other people in the household, you know, they had some ideas, different ideas about that. His mother, though, Solomon's mother, would see to it, you know, that David appointed Solomon before his death. You know, now Solomon would have been robbed of the right to the throne, you know, if, even though the Lord has said it, if his mother did not do something about it, because of all the plotting that was going on, you know, in David's house. But his mother said, well, you know, reminded David, well, you know, Lord told you, you said Solomon will be king, you know, so before you die, you better make him king, you know, and this woman, Bathsheba, you know, she went to bat for her son, you know, and made sure that Solomon was installed as king. But the trouble never ceased in David's house. You know, one thing was always leading to another. You know, there was never peace. Some stories are in 1 Kings, you know, chapter 2, of how Bathsheba had to go speak, you know, to the king to make sure that, you know, make sure that Solomon would be king. You know, she even enlisted the help of Nathan the prophet, you know, and said, look, this is what God promised, but it doesn't look like this is what is happening. So what are you going to do about it? You know, praise the Lord. That woman, you know, she went to fight like that to make sure that her son, you know, was going to be king. So let's point out, you know, some of the some of the lessons in that story of Bathsheba and so on and so forth. Let me read 1 Kings. I want to just read one or two things there and bring out, you know, a few lessons there. You know, there was this, let's try to look for the place here. Maybe from verse 19 or so. Okay, so Adonijah. Okay, let me read this. Okay, so David had made his son Solomon king, right? But there was always war. There was Adonijah. There was even in the David's time, his own son Absalom, you know, went Absalom against David and so on and so forth. Let me try to get this story. I think I'm mixing it up here. Okay, Bathsheba went on to King Solomon. Okay, all right. Okay, let me leave that story. I got that a little bit of that mixed up. Let me leave that story. Let me tell the other story. There's so many stories here about, you know, about David that you can't get it, you know, get all of it straight. David, after he made Solomon his son, to be king, there was never peace. There was always trouble. Trouble was there in his own time too, you know. even his own son, Absalom, you know, causing rebellion against him, trying to depose the king. And then, you know, there was Adonijah on the one hand trying to depose Solomon. King was still present. And so many other things going on. A lot of tragedies. In fact, one time, the people, Joab's people, had to fight Absalom in a battle because Absalom was trying to overthrow his father. And, well, unfortunately, Absalom was killed in battle. The thing displeased David. He grieved seriously and mourned and cried. And even, you know, Joab and the rest of them were not happy about it. You know, why are you crying for this man who was your enemy? Would you rather the rest of us be killed and then this man saved? You would have been happy if Absalom survived this war and the rest of us were killed. And Joab challenged the king. He said, look, your enemy hasn't killed this day. Why are you not even encouraging the people that fought for you? You are sad because, Absalom was killed. What about the rest of the people? That thing grieved David too, you know. So there was always trouble. Trouble in his house, trouble in his lineage, had a share of tragedies, you know, and so on and so forth. There were not only good things that happened in David's life. There was also bad things that happened. All said, though, when you look at, you know, some of his greatest triumphs and, you know, some of his tragedies, you would see that overall, his life was a mixture. But God still looked at him favorably. And, you know, despite some of the wrong things he did, especially Bathsheba's case and the numbering of Israel, yet God, you know, spoke of David kindly for a long time to come. Till this day, you know, God was always thinking of David as the throne that he would sit on, David's throne. Now, we can see the kinds of problems that happened in David's life. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, Amon, one of the sons of David, you know, had committed rape or incest, one of his stepsisters and so on. And, you know, later on, was murdered by Absalom. This story is in 2 Samuel chapter 13. You know, sons of David killing each other, committing incest, all kinds of evil things happening. And then later on, the same Absalom would lead a rebellion against David to try to usurp David's throne. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And, you know, so many things, you know, happening. Absalom himself was killed in 2 Samuel chapter 18. And David's throne was restored, but it was a bitter victory for David. He was not happy that his son was killed. David didn't mind if he lost the throne as long as his son survived. But, you know, unfortunately, the soldiers that were loyal to David, they overpowered the armies on the other side and destroyed them and killed his son Absalom, which grieved David quite a lot. And so tragedies were in David's life. You know, all the things that he was going through, fighting within his house, sons killing each other, his own son, you know, trying to murder him and everything. You know, even within the throne, the sons, you know, Adonijah, Adonijah trying to depose Solomon. You know, Solomon had been appointed, but there was rebellion. There's always rebellion. You know, people don't always like God's choices, and there will be rebellion. Bathsheba had to step into it, go to the king and say, well, didn't you say it will be such and such? Didn't you say Solomon will be king? Well, better make sure, because there's rebellion brewing. So all these things were going on in David's life. Stories that we see of victories and stories that we hear of tragedies. And I want to quickly talk about one area that we don't talk about too much for David, which we call David's mighty men. You know, they were people that hung around David, and many of them did great things, just like David did. You know, there was a story in 2 Samuel chapter 23 where we read of David's mighty men. And these were the people that were always with David. And even in his days, whether I was running, whether I was king, many things, you know. Let's look at some of them. David's mighty men from 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. There was one called Tachmonite. The Tachmonite sat in the seat, was chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 who he slew at one time. Look at some of these great things. Now, David's prowess and, you know, bravery and all his acts rubbed off on the people that were close to him. And then they also did mighty things, which should not be overlooked. One person fought against 800 men. Can you imagine? I mean, we've seen the exploits of somebody like Samson in the Bible. But the exploits of these so-called David's mighty men, they were tremendous. This one man, he went up against, he was called Adino. He was a Tachmonite. He went up against 800 men with just one spear in his hand, and he killed 800 people. How do you do that? He was one of David's mighty men. You know, there was another one called Eliezer, son of Dodo the Adohite, or Ahohite. You know, was one of the three mighty men. He also said he defied the Philistines that were gathered in battle. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand cleaved unto his sword that day. You know, I mean, this man was just killing everybody, left, right, and center. His hand was weary. I mean, it's like the sword could not even drop out of his hand. He wrought the Lord a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. You know, he was the one that went out in front. This man, he went out killing everybody, and then the rest of the people came and gathered the spoil after him. And just imagine this great man of David. Then there was also this one called Shammah. He also did some great things. When the Philistines came in to take a particular place, this man stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines and wrought great victory. Now, people thought that David was the only one that slew the Philistines. No. So some of the other men that were with him as well. Now, you know, and then, you know, there were some others. Three of the 30 chief went down, came to David of Aves one time. And when David was somewhere, David longed and said, I really want to drink of the waters of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So this man broke through the garrison of the Philistines and brought water to David. So people that dare to do anything, was loyal to David, brought it to David, and David realized that they risked their life. He was just thinking aloud or wishing aloud. He didn't really want the man to do that. But because the men risked their lives, he said, you risked your lives to go and get me this water to drink just because I said I was longing for it? And he said, well, I mean, this water I will not drink. He offered it unto the Lord. He said, look, these are the blood of the men that jeopardized their lives to get this water. And then there were some others, Abishai, let's just look at him. He lifted up his spear against 300. He slew them. One person did 800. This one did 300. It was just all these things they did. And many of their acts, went up against people, slew another giant. There was one that slew a giant. And all kinds of things that they did. It's all written here. I can't go through all the great things that this man of David did. But I just wanted to call it out that David had some also other champions that were with him. Just like he was, there were some others. Their deeds are little spoken about, but they were recorded in the Bible. All the time that we're told that David smote the Philistines, he didn't do it by himself. He didn't do it all alone. Some of the stories of the people that did it for him are written here. And they're great, great stories. In fact, if you meet this man that was slaying everybody until his hand was weary that day, when you meet him later on, ask him, how did you do it? You yourself alone, everybody else just came in after you to take the spoil. You were the only one fighting the battle. My goodness. Or this one that killed 800 people by himself. How do you go up against 800 people and do it? You talk about David going up against a lion. David going up against a bear. David going up against Goliath. This man went up against 800 people. And he killed them all. How do you do it? While you are fighting two or three, wouldn't some people come behind you and get you? But this man, 800. Another one, 300. And so on and so forth. Did great things. One of them, another one smote a lion and everything. So David had these great men in his life. You cannot finish telling about the stories of David without telling of his transgressions. You tell of his victories. You got to tell of his tragedies. And you got to tell of some of the great men. And last but not the least, I want to tell of David's ability in praising the Lord and the power to move God through prayer and praise. David had it like nobody else in that Bible that we have seen. There were many Psalms, of course, that he wrote. He wrote most of the Psalms, Asaph wrote a few of them, but he wrote most of the Psalms, and some of the things till this day are so inspiring of all the things that he did, and especially how the Lord responded to him when he prayed. I want to read some portions out of Psalm 18 to see the kind of power that David had with God, the kind of clout that he carried with God as well. He said, I love thee, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, honor, my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now that's a good lesson. Call upon the Lord. Let the Lord take care of the fight. He said, look, the sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. And the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And the Lord, he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him and even into his ears. Now, let's see God's response to David's prayer. And every time I read this or to talk about this to people, I say, well, can my prayer do this? Can your prayer do this? Can you lift up a voice before the Lord and cause God to respond like this? Well, let's see the kind of response that God had. I mean, gave to David's prayer. Said, in my distress, I called on the Lord and he heard me. And what happened? Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because the Lord was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by, can your prayer do this? I mean, can you pray and lift up a voice to heaven and cause God to respond like this? Well, David did. David said, the Lord, at my prayer, in response to my prayer, he bowed the heavens and he came down. Darkness were under his feet, rode upon a cherub and did fly. The Lord did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, pavilion around it. You know, waters, thick clouds and so forth. Brightness, clouds. I mean, so many dramatic things began to happen as the Lord moved on David's behalf. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered. He said the Lord also thundered from the heavens. One man's prayer can make God do all this. My goodness. The highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. A second time saying that. He sent out his arrows and scattered them. That's David's enemies. He shot out his lightnings and discomfited them. Can God respond with lightnings when you pray? Then the channels of water were seen and the foundation of the wall were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, and the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. And then the Lord sent from above and he took me. And it's like, you talk about sending in the cavalry to save the day. Well, God was the one that came to save the day for David. And the Lord took him. After displaying all his mighty power and scattering his enemies, it was prophetic the way that David was writing these things. And he said, then the Lord took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me. Now, I pray if you have a situation in your life that is too strong for you, that the Lord or your children, your daughter, your son, your children, or whoever, they may be in a situation that is too strong. It's a case we've been praying for here in the platform, too strong. The Lord will thunder from heaven. Believe in God. He said, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. But they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. Brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Praise God. Well, why did the Lord delight in him? Because this David man knew how to praise the Lord. You might say David knew which buttons to press. That's right. The Lord is my fortress. He's my rock. He's my shield, my high tower. He's my buckler. He's my song. I mean, it's my salvation. Even my song. The Lord is my glory, the lifter up of my head, on and on and on. I mean, when David praised the Lord stood up and flexed his arms. I'm going to show you something else too. You think of me as your strong tower, I'll be even stronger for you. That's how the Lord, when you tell the Lord great things about him, he will respond even in kind. The Lord responded. Look at how the Lord, that's a little digression. See how the Lord responded, in the case of Jeremiah. There was a day that Jeremiah was thinking about the Lord and praying and said, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you to do. He said in Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy outstretched arm. And there is nothing too hard for you to do. Now, when you pray to God like that, well, he's going to come, he's going to drop down here and respond to you. In verse 27, you know, the Lord will respond to him. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold. Now, remember, in verse 17, Jeremiah said these words, that Lord God, you are the one, you know, that made heaven and earth by your outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for you to do. That's what Jeremiah said. Look at how the Lord responded. In verse 27, the Lord said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Just like Jeremiah said, is there anything too hard for me to do? Now, so when you know how to call God out, so to speak, he will respond in kind. David knew it. He would call God out, you know, Psalm 27. The Lord is my life, my strength, my this, my that. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, when the enemies came out to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The Lord is this and that. I mean, he will call the Lord and tell great things, and then the Lord will respond in kind. Now, so let us learn to do that. But back to Psalm 18. It wasn't all good stuff that we read in that. There's also a hidden lesson to be learned from Psalm 18. You know, in Psalm 18, yeah, we see all the power, you know, that David could command from with the Lord. But we see a secret truth of what he said here. You know, he said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. And that's how he said the Lord did it. You can read that in Psalm 18 and verse 20. That's a secret. You know, according to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I also was upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. You know, David, he did that. And when the Lord dealt with him, he repented, you know, and he said, you know, I was straight in before the Lord. Therefore, had the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his sight. And if your hands are not clean, well, the Lord will reward you that way too. With the merciful, he said, I will show yourself merciful. And with the upright, show yourself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people. Ha! Thou wilt bring down high looks. For thou, Lord, will light my candle. Now, this is a good one. The Lord God will enlighten my darkness. That's similar to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 50 and 7. You know, so I know that the Lord God will help me, you know, therefore will I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face as a flint. I know that I will not be ashamed. David is saying here, the Lord will light my candle. The Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. That's right. Can you run through troops? Well, there were three mighty men of David that ran through troops to get in some water. You know, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's a buckler to all those that trust in him. Who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girded me with strength, maketh my way to be perfect, makes my feet also like hinds feet, and set me upon my high place. I mean, back and forth, he would pray some and then praise the Lord some, and he would exalt the Lord some. The Lord teacheth my hand, so wall, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Can you do that? This man had power with God, even physical power at times. You know, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Woo-hoo. And thy right hand has holding me up, and thy gentleness had made me great. That's a good verse to learn. The Lord has given me the shield of his salvation, and his right hand holds me up, and his gentleness is what's making me great. Glory to God. You know, thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not sleep. I have pursued my enemies in the name of the Lord and overtaken them. Therefore did I turn again, you know, I mean, say, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. We took no prisoners. I wounded them so that they were not able to rise. They have fallen under my feet. But thou hast guarded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me, those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies, that might destroy them that hate me. Well, okay. You know, we're not, you know, that was in the Old Testament. We're not going, you know, in the New Testament now, in, you know, with the physical fight. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. But these are all the things, you know, in the days of David. Say, I beat them small as a dust. You know, I cast them into the dirt like, you know, cast into the sea and so forth. On and on and on. Yeah. And here is one good one. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from my enemy. Yea, thou hast lifted me up above those that rose up against me, and thou hast delivered me from the violent man, Saul and others. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and will sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance has he given to the king. He showed mercy to his anointed, even to David and to his seed forevermore. Isn't that beautiful? That's our entire Psalm 18. As we reflect on these things, well, we can learn a few things from David. I think I'm going to wrap up this series here. We can learn even from the Lord too. The Lord will deal with unrighteousness, but then he will have mercy. His anger will not endure forever. And we learned that in the days, from the stories of David. The Lord dealt with his sins, but then the Lord had mercy upon him. And mercy always trumps over judgment. Praise God. We see the mercy of the Lord trumping over all the judgment. Till this day, the Lord will still intend to sit upon the throne of David. Chose that, and that will never go away. That's the way it's going to be. Praise the Lord. And David, a man after God's heart, and knew how to praise the Lord. What a life. A blend of victories and also tragedies, in his life. That shows us, you know, what the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. In the days of prosperity, rejoice. And in the day of adversity, consider that, you know, the Lord allows these two things side by side so that we will always look unto him and not choose anything else above him. So he will allow night and day, leave them together, allow goodness, greatness and adversity, victories and tragedies, and all of these things are part of life. But thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. And in all of it, we are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these lessons that we see out of the scriptures. A man that God chose, a man just like ourselves, was a man of like passion, was a man subject to failure, like many of us. And yet he knew how to quickly repent. Lord, I pray that you will help us also. As many of us, you know, as I've heard these stories and these lessons, guard ourselves with the same mind. Let this mind be also in you. That was in David, to always come with a full heart of repentance when the Lord convicted him of whatever. And let us also learn from his failures that we would not do the same. Keep your eyes from looking on the wicked thing and you will not fall into sin. Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And remember the covenant of the Lord not to go against it. Don't try to number the people that God said will be numberless. And don't try to go against some promise and the covenant of the Lord that he himself established. And we thank God that throughout all the lessons we see in David, a heart that wanted to build a house for the Lord and made preparations for it. Even though he couldn't do it, supported the work tremendously. Thank you, Lord, for all these lessons. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.